What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you on this Wednesday, and we are in week two, and it's on and popping, man. Week two, spring 2021 football season. We're going to not waste too much time, and we're just going to go ahead and make a few things happen. And before, well, Facebook page, facebook.com/swagtalk. Instagram.com/SwagTalk and SwagTalk76@gmail.com is the email address. So as we've said time and time again, this season will be a strange season. This will be a season of change and flux, and we have to adapt at all times because you just never know. Last week, went through and did the whole preview and found out that the Pine Bluff Texas Southern game was postponed due to water issues at Pine Bluff. The Valley Jackson State game was postponed because Valley has COVID issues. That was one thing that you know we tried to adjust to, but we ended up with one game out of the week, so that was something that we had to kind of adjust to. So we're gonna go ahead and get started recapping week one, which had one game. So the SWAC players of the week were announced for week one. Offensive and newcomer of the week was Alabama State quarterback Ryan Nettles. He played in his first collegiate game and his first game in over 3 years. He finished the night 16-27, passing for 149 yards. He threw two touchdowns, one to Jeremiah Hickson and one to Michael Jefferson. He had a long of 32 yards to Hickson, which was the touchdown, with a minute and 8 left in the first quarter. Defensively, Jordan Lewis from Ocala, Florida, Southern defensive end. He had a career-high 11 tackles, highlighted by 8 solo stops and 4 sacks. He also forced a fumble. He had 5 tackles for loss as well. Specialist, Cesar Barajas from Southern. He made a game-winning 41-yard field goal to give Southern the 24-21 victory over Alabama State. He was 1-for-1 on field goals, perfect on extra points, and he punted the ball 4 times, averaging 45.8 yards per punt, including a 52-yard punt, and placed 3 punts inside the 20-yard line. So, nice effort from those guys to open up the season. Like they say, it's one of those kind of unusual type of situations, but you know, once you step on that field, you kind of have to go ahead and go for what you know. So we're gonna go ahead and recap this past week's schedule, and we're gonna talk about this game between Alabama State and Southern. And this was a game that I kind of felt would be a little bit sloppy. Mainly because, you know, these two teams have not played since 2019. And, you know, they're breaking in new pieces. I mean, it's the first game. First games are almost always typically sloppy, even when you're playing, you know, from one season to the next. So it was understood to me that you weren't going to see, like, the best football. And it started off very, very sloppy. Neither team, to me, ever got any real sense of flow to them. You know, it was kind of one of those games where, you know, you kind of hold out to the end and hopefully you make the last play to win. But Alabama State started off, you know, really slow. They turned the ball over twice in their first two possessions. Southern was able to score on one of those turnovers, and Alabama State had a stop in the red zone to thwart Southern's first opportunity when they got the ball at the 2-yard line. So Alabama State coming in with a brand new quarterback, hadn't played in almost 2 or 3 years. It took some time for him to kind of get going, and he still had his moments of, you know, young quarterback situations where he would look too much at the guy that he wants to throw to. Sometimes he was slow getting the ball out. Other times he didn't run when he should have. And then he had moments where he looked good. So it's going to be a building point for Alabama State. And for Southern also, Southern didn't really play the kind of game that a lot of people probably expected them to play. They didn't really establish a running game. When they did run option, they were able to score twice. Once one was called back, but they never really took full hold of the game. It took them a while to get going offensively. And the second half just kind of became one of those, you know, you score, I score. But defensively, I think both defenses played well. I think both defenses were honestly ahead of both offenses, which is something that you can probably kind of expect in a situation like this. Because I feel like, personally, I feel like these kind of games showcase what kind of program you have. And you have to lean on that in those kind of situations. You have to trust and believe that the guys on your team are gonna be able to get it done, because A, they've probably been there before, and B, that's the expectation of your program. And I think for Southern, I think that's what basically got them through this game. Is that's, you know, honestly, that's Southern football. They you know, if they win going away, that's good. But they typically don't mind surviving and advancing. So it was a tough, hard fought game. I don't think there were any major injuries, which is always a good thing. But it was it was entertaining to watch. It wasn't, like I said, it wasn't the best game as far as if you like high flying offense. It really wasn't that. It really wasn't a great defensive game either. But I think both teams did what they had to do, and I think Southern was able to do just enough to get the W. And we're gonna start off by going over the scoring. Southern scored first with 11 minutes and 17 seconds to go in the first quarter, when Chase Foster had a 14-yard pick six. Extra point was good. Southern led 7-0. With 1:08 to go in the second quarter, Jeremiah Hickson caught a 32-yard pass from Ryan Nettles. Extra point was good. That capped off an 8-play, 60-yard drive that took 3:48 off the clock, 7-7. And that touchdown pass honestly showed some of the capabilities of Nettles. He was able to escape the pocket and kept his eyes downfield, which is something that a lot of quarterbacks, even some veteran quarterbacks, don't do in college. They take off and they go, they just run to get what they can get. He was honestly still looking to make a play down the field, and credit to the receiver for reading that and sticking with him. So it was a nice play to give them a 7-7 tie going into the half. Coming out of the half, Southern scored with 11 minutes and 45 seconds left in the third quarter when Ladarius Skelton ran an 8-yard touchdown. Barajas, extra point good. 7 plays, 45 yards, time of possession, 3 minutes and 15 seconds. Southern led 14-7. With 8 minutes and 21 seconds to go in the third quarter, Michael Jefferson caught a 14-yard pass from Ryan Nettles. Extra point good. 8 plays, 70 yards, 3 minutes and 24 seconds, time of possession. 14-all is our score. With 15 seconds to go in the third quarter, Ja'Cory Merritt scored on a 1-yard run for Alabama State. Extra point good. 3 plays, 5 yards, 1:22. 21-14 was Alabama State lead. And they got the ball in Southern's, basically inside Southern's 5-yard line, because Southern fumbled, and they were able to take advantage and punch it in. With 14 minutes and 20 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, Perkins caught a 59-yard pass from Skelton. Extra point good. 3 plays, 74 yards, 55-second time of possession. 21-21. And with 12 minutes and 20 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, Barajas, 41-yard field goal for Southern, capping off a 4-play, 1-yard drive to give Southern a 24-21 lead, which they would hold on for the rest of the game. And Alabama State drove had put together a nice drive at the end of the game to put themselves in a position to score either a touchdown or a field goal. They got the ball starting at their own 26-yard line, and they marched the ball down to the Southern 27 when they kicked a 44-yard field goal, which they missed. But it was a drive where they took what Southern gave them, and they got themselves down the field. They did take a couple of sacks that they probably should not have, but they were able to make some plays when they needed to and to get themselves down the field. So it was an entertaining ball game, as I said before. Looking statistically, this part is not pretty to me at all. Neither team really did a lot. Alabama State had 22 first downs, 12 rushing, 8 passing, 2 by penalty. Southern had 12 first downs, 8 rushing, and 4 passing. Alabama State ran for 125 yards on 48 carries, 2.6 yards per carry, 1 touchdown. Southern, 139 yards rushing on 36 carries, 3.9 yards per rush, 1 touchdown. Alabama State, 16 of 28, passing for 149 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Southern, 10 of 22 passing, 135 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. Total offense, Southern 274 yards on 58 plays, 4.7 yards per play. They fumbled 3 times and lost all 3. 7 penalties for 51 yards. Alabama State 274 yards total offense on 76 plays, 3.6 yards per play. They fumbled twice and lost both of them. So both teams ended up with 3 turnovers. That part was obviously very sloppy. 4 penalties for Alabama State for 30 yards. Southern punted 4 times for 183 yards, 45-yard average. 2 punts inside the 20, 1 50-plus-yard punt, and 1 touchback. Alabama State punted 6 times for 251 yards, 41-yard average. 2 punts inside the 20, 3 50-plus-yard punts. Time of possession, Southern 22 minutes and 52 seconds. Alabama State 36 minutes and 16 seconds. So, like, you know, sometimes people look at time of possession, and this is one of those moments where time of possession didn't really tell a true story, but Alabama State controlled the clock for most of the game. And they ran the ball fairly well, it seemed, but when you look at the numbers, you know, they lost a ton of yards, mainly because of sacks. And, you know, that kind of set them back. Third down, Southern was 3 of 12 and 0 for 2 on fourth down. Alabama State was 6 of 17 and 2 of 2 on fourth down. So both teams under 50. Well, Southern was really horrible on third down. And going 3 for 12 in any game is going to be tough to win. Alabama State was under 50% on third down. They did get themselves some opportunities, but Southern just was able to survive. Alabama State was 2 of 2 in the red zone. Southern was 1 of 3. Southern had 6 sacks on the game. Alabama State had 1. Both teams were 3 of 3 on extra points. Southern was 1 for 1 on field goals, and Alabama State was 0 for 2 on field goals. As I said, Skelton 10 of 22, 135 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions, 1 sack. Nettles 16 of 27, 149 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. He was sacked 6 times. And those 6 sacks weren't all on the offensive line, although some of the offensive linemen, especially the tackle, got abused by Jordan Lewis. But some of those plays, especially a couple early plays, he didn't even feel the pressure at all. But that's something that's obviously going to have to be addressed and fixed for them as they move forward. Skelton led Southern with 10 carries for 72 yards, 1 touchdown. Ben, 16 carries, 40 yards. Muhammad, 6 carries, 24 yards. Jones, 1 carry, 14 yards. Nelson, 1 carry, 2 yards. Gray, Ezra Gray, 14 carries, 73 yards. No touchdowns. Merritt, 17 carries, 65 yards, 1 touchdown. Keyron Jones, 1 carry, 10 yards. Ryan Nettles, 15 carries, minus 5 yards, and the majority of that is from sack yardage loss. He did have an 11-yard gain as his long. Perkins led Southern with 1 catch for 59 yards and a touchdown. Hinton, 5 catches, 47 yards. Ben, 1 catch, 17 yards. Kirkwood, 1 catch, 7 yards. McLean, 1 catch, 5 yards. And Jones, 1 catch, no yards. Alabama State was led by Michael Jefferson with 5 catches for 47 yards and a touchdown. Booker, 5 catches, 43 yards. Hickson, 1 catch, 32 yards. Ellis, 2 catches, 12 yards. Diop, 2 catches, 10 yards. And Merritt, 1 catch, 5 yards. So, obviously, like I said, statistically, not a game that would wow you, but it was a game that both teams tried to survive. Lewis led Southern with 11 tackles. Farmer, 8. Williams and Ivy with 6. Foster and Cotton, Tate and Square with 5. Eastling and Carter with 4. Papillon and Ream with 2. Tackles for loss, Lewis, 5. Ivy, 2.5. Jones, Tate, and Former each had a half a tackle for loss. Sacks, Lewis, 4. Ivy, 1.5. And Jones with a half a sack. Jones, Lewis, and Davis each forced fumbles. Fumble recovery were by Fogg. And interception by Foster. Alabama State was led in tackles by Colton Adams with 11. Ershad Davis, Troutman, Aubrey Grace, James Burgess each had 4. Bryce Webster, Jake Howard, Brunwich each had 3. And a lot of guys with 2. Tackles for loss. Alabama State was led by Nichols and West and Howard with 1. Adams, Webster, Rampersad, and Davis each had a half a tackle for loss. Sacks was a team sack. Forced fumbles, the team forced 1. Adams 1 and Brunwich 1. Recoveries by Rampersad, Grace, and King. And no interceptions for the Hornets. So, all in all, you know, not a spectacular first game, but an entertaining first game to some degree. And we're going to go ahead and jump into our week 2 previews. And we're going to stay with Southern since we're already here. And we're going to preview the Arkansas Pine Bluff, who comes into this game without playing last week because they were unable to play. They had to cancel their game. We postponed their game against Texas Southern due to some water issues they had with the storm that came through the winter storm. So they're coming in with their first game of the season and their first game under head coach Doc Gamble. So this is going to be a good test for them because they haven't played and they're playing against a team who has played. And Southern's going to look to improve. And obviously, like the saying goes, you improve the most between your first and second game. So if you're a Southern fan, you're definitely hoping that's true. Pine Bluff comes into this game. They're going to be led by quarterback Skylar Perry, who has the full reins this year because Shannon Patrick transferred out. They returned 14 starters on the season, 8 on offense and 6 on defense. Running back would be the place where I would say they really need a guy to take hold of the position. Omar Allen ran for 224 yards and 3 touchdowns in 2019, and he's going to probably be the guy to get the start. So it's going to be important for him to kind of set the tone. And after that, they don't really have much experience behind him, so he's really going to be the guy that has to tote the load, so to speak. The receiving core is deadly. Their experience, they bring back the top 5 receivers, led by Harry Ballard III, who was an All-SWAC candidate. DeJuan Miller, another big-time receiver for them. Josh Wilkes and Tyron Ralph, who's a really good return man. And tight end Jeremy Brown. So they definitely have experience and explosive passing game, and they have a quarterback who has experience. So that's a dangerous thing for Southern to be faced with. And so for Southern's case, it's good they have a game under their belt, so they won't have their first game nerves. But it's gonna be interesting to see how Pine Bluff comes out and plays this game. Are they gonna just come out and go full force early? Are they gonna try to feel a game out and try to get the running game going and then hit the passing game? Or are they going to just go ahead and do what they got to do and try to make this a game from the start? The offensive line returns 3 starters, so that's a fairly experienced group. And they're going to, like I said, this offense is going to be good and it's going to continue to be good. Defensively, they do have a couple more questions. They return in 6 starters. Xavier Miller is one of their big-time guys on the defensive line. He finished 3rd on the team in tackles for loss with 10. And he had a half a sack and at least a half a sack in 4 of his last 5 games. So he's a guy that definitely has to get an eye on. He had 5 sacks on the season to lead the team. Ja'Kari McKinney is a guy who works hard in the middle of the line. And they really improved their run defense over the last season. They improved from 9th to 3rd in the SWAC. So they're going to be, again, a team who's going to try to maintain that, stop the run. Defensively, their linebackers are fairly solid, led by Kobe Watts, Isaac Peppers, and Monroe Beard. They all have started at some point. And the secondary is going to probably be a key factor. Sean Steele's a guy who can get after the ball. He had 3 interceptions on the season. Jalen Thigpen is a guy who came up very well in his first season starting for them. He had 64 tackles and 3.5 tackles for loss. And Paul Reeves was fourth on the team in tackles for loss at 7.5. And they really, you know, like I said, the defense improved last year. They went from 5 interceptions to 11, and they cut their passing touchdowns from 30 to 15. So this is going to be a challenging game for Southern. For Southern, the benefit of obviously playing a game early is good. Pine Bluff is going to have to kind of hit the ground running and get themselves together. Special teams remain solid. So this is going to be a team that I'm going to tell you not to sleep on, because I know they're going to be impressive offensively, and I think defensively they have the potential to be solid. But as always, I always say, you know, you have to be careful with new coaches, because you just don't know how they're going to respond to certain situations. So that's going to, you know, if this becomes one of those kind of games, then it can be a problem, honestly, with them if they don't respond well to the pressure of this game. Because this is a conference game, a division game, you know, with a shortened season, there's not a lot to have as far as margin of error. So I'm gonna keep this game close. I think it's gonna be a tight game again. I think Southern is still not clicking on all cylinders. They still have some time to get themselves together, but they're going to have to work hard in this game if they don't play better. I'm going to say Southern wins this game 28-21. And another game I don't think is going to be all that crisp, but I think Southern will find a way to survive. And if you're a Southern fan, I would probably say the motto of this season is probably going to be survive in advance, because I don't really see them just coming out and going full force. I could be wrong, and they could improve quite a bit in this next week, but right now I don't really see them playing totally crisp football. They're gonna have to have some work to do on both sides of the ball, and that's gonna be a situation that they have to take care of. So with our next game, Jackson State goes to Grambling for a noon kickoff, and this is a game that a lot of people have looked forward to. This game was kind of circled as Jackson State's first real test in the conference. But with the Valley game being postponed due to Valley having COVID issues, Jackson State had to push it back another week. So the first SWAC game is their first road game, and that's something really to kind of be leery of. Although Jackson State, you know, they feel they're ready, and I'm not gonna doubt that they're not. Playing on the road in the SWAC is a different beast at times, and Grambling's a tough place to play. They haven't Grambling hasn't lost at home since 2017, so that's something that they take pride in, winning at home. And Jackson has a lot of confidence, and they're coming in, they're feeling good, and they ready to play. So we're gonna take a look at this game a little bit. Like I said, it's kind of early on the season, so we don't really know exactly what to expect from Grambling, because they haven't played yet. Their game against Prairie View was canceled because of issues at the Cotton Bowl for their State Fair Classic, so their game was postponed. Jackson State obviously coming off a postponement, so both teams are ready to really, you know, get it going and hit somebody on the other team in a different color uniform. So when we look at Jackson State, they didn't show a lot from that first game, and obviously they shouldn't have. I mean, you don't want to, you know, empty your gun against Edward Waters, but they showed some explosiveness. They showed a willing to run the ball. They ran the ball 42 times in that game. They threw it 33. I don't know if that's gonna keep that kind of ratio all season, but for a game like this, that's a game, you know, that's what you want. Jalen Jones most likely will get the start again at quarterback. He's a guy who can run the ball fairly well. He throws the ball fairly well. Kimani Clark will be the guy that I think will get the start at running back. You can look for Greg Williams to get some carries. And receivers, Warren Newman is going to be the guy that they really look to. He's a big play guy. He's a return man as well. Dalen Baldwin was the second leading receiver on the team. And Christian Allen is another name that you can look for, along with Kylan Richie, who is the tight end. He can be counted on to make some plays as well. So Jackson State obviously is going to – I think they're looking more defense than anything on the season, led by Keontae Hampton, who is obviously a big play guy. And he's a guy that Grambling's going to have to keep an eye on at all times, because he can make plays on the defensive side of the ball and give quarterbacks and running backs a lot of hell if he gets his hands on you. So you really have to account for him. That's just plain and simple. You can't let him do what he wants to do. You can't let him get in the backfield and cause any trouble. He had 8 tackles on the game against Edward Waters. And you know, I'm really hyped up for this game to a degree, because I want to really see what both of these teams bring to the table. They're both two teams who possibly can factor into the conference race. And Grambling, I want to see. Grambling's been starting slow the last couple years, and this is not a season that they can afford to start slow, because you don't want to fall behind a team who, regardless of what they've done on the field, off the field, Jackson State has a ton of confidence right now, and that they're feeling really froggy, and they're ready to jump. You know, so Grambling has to be ready. Jeremy Hickbottom, I'm sure, will probably be the starter again, because obviously he started the last 2 years. I wouldn't expect anything less at this point. Defensively, I think Grambling's going to have one of the better defenses in the conference, because they're always one of those teams who you can count on to be solid on defense. And Coach Forbes is a really heady coach. He's not going to beat himself too many times. So you kind of have the contrast in styles of the coaches. You have Deion Sanders who's prime time. You know, he's always on. You know, he feels like his guys are going to be always on. He feels like his guys are ready. Then you have a guy like Broderick Forbes, who's more of a coach, you know, a low-key type coach that's going to get his guys out there to work, be fundamentally sound, and do things the Grambling way. So you have an established program, regardless of what Grambling does at the beginning of every season against a program who is trying to make a name for themselves. So defensively, I think both defenses are going to be the factor in this game, because I don't really feel right now at this point that Jackson State offensively is going to be consistent enough to make things happen, because a lot of what they did against Edward Waters is not going to be what they do against Grambling. I mean, they threw a lot of screens and things like that, because they, you know, they had the speed and athletic advantage over Edward Waters. So this is going to be a game based on which team can run the ball better and which team is going to be able to stop the run. And in these kind of situations, I don't go against the established team. Right now, Jackson State has a lot to prove, and I think, you know, I think they're going to get over that hump. But right now, I'm going to go with Grambling But I think it's going to be a very tight game. I'm going to say the score would be 27 for Grambling and 24 for Jackson State. I can see this game going either way, honestly, but I think Grambling is going to do enough to win and find, you know, they're going to find that way to get off to a better start this season, because they just haven't really been able to start seasons on a good note. So that's going to do it for that game. We're going to jump into our next game, which is Prairie View against Texas Southern in the Labor Day Classic in the fall time, in the springtime, as I like to call it. Again, Prairie View's game was postponed because of damage to the Cotton Bowl, so they didn't get to play Grambling, so they coming in with no games under their belt. This is their first game. Texas Southern, this is their first game because their game against Pine Bluff was postponed. So, again, two teams, you don't really know what to expect from them. Both teams' first game of the season. And, you know, with these previews of the season, it's kind of like you kind of want to go with, you know, what you know about a team. And Prairie View lost a lot, especially offensively. They lost two of their better weapons, DeJuan Tucker and Jalen Morton, quarterback, running back and quarterback, respectively. And TJ Starks was the guy who came on at quarterback in the midpoint of the season. And Trezon Connolly is another guy who played a lot for them at quarterback. So I think Connolly, he's most likely going to start. I could be wrong, but he played a lot late once Morton got hurt. Prairie View's talking defense this year, so I expect them to really be tough on defense. They have some guys who really can make plays in the secondary. They have they have some guys who are gonna be really tough on that line of scrimmage, and a guy like Treshawn Smith, who is a linebacker that can get in the backfield and make a lot of plays. So Prairie View is a team that you always can count on to be right there in the mix. And I don't expect anything less from them this year. I think the offense is going to take a little bit of a time to get clicking because they're breaking in some new pieces. But I feel like they have a tradition offensively that they continue to build on. So I feel a level of confidence with Prairie View in this kind of game, because I think that they have enough pieces to win this game regardless of what they, you know, what they're bringing in and experience. So defensively, Prairie View is gonna get out to Texas Southern. I really believe Texas Southern is coming off of a winless season, and they, you know, they don't really have a lot on paper right now to show. So it's kind of hard to really say what any team would do. And I know I keep saying that over and over, but these week one previews are kind of that kind of thing. You know, it's like I'm just really doing an educated guess, because with COVID and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and I'm not saying anybody has any COVID issues, but, you know, with the shortened spring, you know, guys not really being full speed, you know, you really don't know who's going to play or who's going to step up. And so you always had to be prepared. And these kind of games, especially first games, you really don't know. These teams have not played in quite some time. They've, you know, they both missed their last week game, so that's another week of you know, postseason rest they had to work off. You know, this is an emotional game, it's a rivalry game, so you don't know. You know, you feel like, you know, Texas Southern's gonna be up for this game. They're gonna be ready, but I just don't think they have the firepower to do it. I'm expecting Texas Southern to be better this year, but I don't know if they're going to be good enough at this point to beat a team like Prairie View, who is looking to challenge for the SWAC West Division and the SWAC Championship. And Prairie View definitely is working with a lot, and I think they'll be able to withstand any rough start that they have against a team like Texas Southern. Now, will they be able to do that later in the season? That's, you know, that's that's something that remains to be seen. But for this game, I really think that they have enough to get it done. And I'm obviously going to go with Prairie View as I've been, you know, it really seems like I'm leading that way. So I'm not going to go against what I feel. And I mean, because I think Prairie View is a program that's right there. They always right there. And sooner or later, they're going to have to either get over the hump, or they're going to have to fall back. And this, you know, the spring is probably the best time to start breaking in new guys. So I really expect them to, you know, get this done and take care of business against Texas Southern. Again, this is the kind of game that I think is going to be a sloppy game early. But I think it's going to be a game that will turn out to be Prairie View pulling away. So I'm going to say Prairie View will get the victory. I'm going to say 31-10. Texas Southern, just to me, is just not there right now. I think this game is going to be closing the first half. Prairie View will score late and pull it away. So that does it for that game. And the next game we have scheduled was supposed to be Mississippi Valley and Alabama A&M. Valley is still undergoing their COVID issues, so they won't be playing this week again. So that game is pushed back to later in the season. And in a surprise move, at least as far as I know, I don't see it on their schedule, but I see it on the South Carolina State schedule, and I think it's pretty much been confirmed. South Carolina State will be hosting Alabama A&M, so Alabama A&M was able to get a game, and you know, they want to play. You know what I mean? If they were unable to get a game this week, they wouldn't be able to play a game until March 20th against Prairie View. So you don't want to be off as long as most teams have been off, and then be off even longer. So that, you know, this is a game that's, you know, spur of the moment, last minute. So it's not really a lot to really put into this game. You know, South Carolina State's a MEAC team, and the MEAC is only playing, like, three teams are playing, Howard, Delaware State, and South Carolina State. So they're kind of playing two games a piece against each other. And this would be South Carolina State's first game on the season. So they're actually also playing Alabama State, look like, on April 3rd. I guess Howard is not playing against South Carolina State, so they were able to pick up two games against SWAC teams, one home, one road, and give them four games on the season, two road games, two home games. So I'm not really going to go super duper in depth in this game, because A, I don't know a lot about South Carolina State, and because this game was kind of like a last minute thing, it was kind of sprung up there. Didn't really have a chance to study them. You know, the SWAC don't really play them that often, so don't know a lot about them. Alabama A&M is obviously offensively, I think they're going to be good again this year. Kyle Glass, the quarterback, the guy who I think is the best quarterback in the league, he's returning. Their passing game last year was very good with Ibrahim and Zabrian Moore. Also, Brian Jenkins is back at receiver. He was an electrifying guy. He missed a lot of time with injury last year. For me, the question, if I have any question for Alabama State, is going to be their, Alabama A&M is going to be their running game, because they lose Jordan Bentley, who was their do-it-all back. And they didn't really get a lot of production out of anybody else. Garrett Quarles was the only person who had more than 8 carries on the season, so he carried the ball 67 times for 281 yards and a touchdown. So you're losing 1,417 yards of rushing from one guy and 272 carries, also 18 touchdowns. So that's a lot of production. And Jordan Bentley was a guy that played from his freshman year, so basically started from his freshman year. So you're losing 4 years of production from a guy, and you're going to have to replace that. So I kind of expect them to go with a committee early, and being a game against a team that they don't know a lot about, and this game was basically scheduled yesterday, confirmed yesterday. May they have been working on it for a couple of days, but there's not a lot of time to watch film on either team. and Alabama State. I keep saying Alabama State. Why am I doing that? Alabama A&M has no film on them, and South Carolina State has no film on them. So this is going to be a game that I just, you know, I want to hopefully be able to listen to this game. There's no details on radio or anything, but this is a game I really want to keep tabs on because neither team knows anything about the other team. I know they're scrambling to scout each other at this point and put together some kind of game plan, but I don't see you being able to really super duper dive into tendencies of teams. And a lot in some ways, this game reminds me of last fall. Coastal Carolina was supposed to play Liberty late in the season, and Liberty pulled out, and they ended up playing BYU. They signed a contract like on Monday, Tuesday, and they played on Saturday. So those two teams didn't know a lot about each other, and that first half was definitely a feeling out affair, and it turned out to be a hell of a game at the end. And I say that to say that I think that this game probably will be, you know, similar. I think first half, both teams are going to do what they do best. South Carolina State has always been a team that runs the ball. That's their primary identity. And last year, they didn't run the ball as great as they normally do. They ran the ball for 142 yards on the season, and they threw the ball for 225, playing a couple quarterbacks. And South Carolina State, to me, I'm just going off of what I know them historically to be, is a team that's very solid on defense and a running offense. And last year, the defense was fairly good. They allowed 122 yards rushing on the season and 199 passing, 322 yards total total defense. So they definitely were a team who could make plays on defense. They had forced 14 interceptions on the season and 19 sacks. And 28 sacks. They allowed 19 as a team. So they definitely did a good job of getting to the quarterback, you know, forcing mistakes and not really allowing teams to run the ball very well. They only lost three games on the season to USF. Florida A&M beat them by 4. And North Carolina A&T beat them by 2. So they really obviously was a team who was a very tough out. And I think they're going to be, you know, tough again. And like I said, this game, this is so intriguing to me, honestly. This COVID season is going to be one of those seasons where it's like you can throw everything out. You know, any prediction you make is probably not going to be right. And this first week, honestly, well, this second week, it's probably the first full week, knock on wood. Hopefully nobody game gets canceled between now and Saturday. But this whole first 2 weeks has really been, it's been tough for me as a predictor, because you know, you don't never really know what's going on with anybody first week of the season. But now nobody's played, so now you have, on the second week when you would have at least some kind of idea of what to expect, who's starting, who's not, you still don't have that. So it's a constant wait and see thing, and I'm honestly enjoying the ride. You know, this is something that hopefully will never happen again, because I personally don't want to see spring football ever again. I understand the circumstances, but personally, I don't really want to see that ever again. I want to get back to fall football where things belong, but you really just don't know what to expect from anybody. So week in, week out, I feel like we're just not going to be sure of what goes, but I'm rambling a lot because I'm just, you know, really hyped about the season starting up. I didn't make a prediction on the Alabama State game because why am I saying Alabama State, man? Y'all, please forgive me. I got Hornets on the brain for some reason. But just to go over a quick little rundown of South Carolina State, I was able to track down just a brief preview. Like I said, defensively, they're always going to be strong. And they really they're gonna lean on the linebackers and defensive backs. The lines are gonna be where they kind of have their weakness, and they're not gonna wow you offensively. That they never really have, but they're very well coached, and I think they're gonna be ready to play obviously in this game. But I don't know how much they're gonna be able to really showcase. And they have a short schedule, so that you don't know how much they're really gonna go all out. They don't really have a lot to play for. Alabama A&M is a team who is predicted at this point to win the SWAC East and maybe even win the SWAC as a whole. So this game is kind of important for them, at least to show some things. But I'm gonna go with South Carolina State in this game only for a couple reasons. One, they're playing at home, which is good in a situation like this. You have some kind of normalcy, you have some kind of routine. You can kind of fall back on that, and defensively they're pretty solid. So I think that'll help them slow down Alabama A&M enough to win. Alabama A&M is gonna have to really make a lot of plays, and I love their passing game, and I think that can keep them in this game. But defensively, I'm still not sold on them. They have some things to prove. I'm gonna go with South Carolina State. I'm gonna say 30-27. Again, I could be totally wrong in that game, but that's this game is just so fascinating to me, because when you follow college football, you usually look for the status quo, but chaos is great in these kind of situations. That unknown, who's gonna do what this team, what they have. You was expecting to play this guy, this team, you're gonna have to play this team. So this COVID season is not gonna be boring at all. And I feel like week in and week out, it's gonna be something that comes up every week. Now I hope and pray that there's no more stoppages for anybody because of COVID, but this is gonna be a test of every team's endurance, their depth, and what kind of program they have as a whole, the culture of their program. If you have a team who doesn't really buy in and is not really working together, they're gonna fall apart at the seams in this kind of season. And we saw that with a lot of teams in the FBS in the fall. Teams who either don't have much to play for, or they just don't have that solid chemistry, they tended to fall by the wayside, because at some point guys are gonna be like, man, whatever, I'm not really going through this right now, let me get through with this and move on. The teams who believe in each other and trust each other and love each other are gonna be the teams who make it through, because you have to count on that man next to you. You have to trust in your coaches, especially in these kind of situations, with the protocols and everything. You have to listen to your coaches, and you have to have guys that are disciplined and follow orders and rules and maintain that kind of structure. So it's going to, obviously the game is going to be played on the field. The better team typically is going to win, but the better programs are going to be the ones who come out on top at the end. So every game this week is very interesting. Every game this week has some kind of storyline that I'm interested in, and every game this week is probably going to be sloppy to some degree. So again, I feel like you won't see really crisp football, if you see it at all, this spring. You won't see that until probably late March and early April. So all I can say is buckle up and get ready, because this is going to be a roller coaster ride, and it's, it hasn't disappointed in that aspect. So hopefully, we can get all these games in, and we'll be back on Sunday to talk about these games if they take place. If there's another, I'm knocking on wood, I'm not saying that anything's not going to take place, but if we have another situation like last weekend where there's only one game, then I'm not going to really do a show on that game. I'll wait till Wednesday and recap it. So If all goes to plan, we'll be back on Sunday. If not, then we'll be back on Wednesday. But one way or the other, we will be back. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Terminator, we will be back. And that's going to do it for us. And this spring schedule, man, I keep saying it over and over, but I'm excited. I hope you guys are. I hope you're still staying safe. Don't really get too excited about what's going on the outside with people, you know, opening up everything. Stay safe and protect yourself and protect your family. If you are able to go out to a game, please, please, please mask up. Please social distance. Please be safe. And we're going to be back one day this week, Sunday, Wednesday, whichever one, depending on the games, to talk some more SWAC football. So with that being said, I'm your host, Charles Wells. We're going to continue this COVID SWAC spring 2021 season and see where this takes us at the end on May 1st, is it? SWAC Championship, see if we can make it that far and see who survives this grueling spring season and head into the fall. Facebook.com/SWAC Talk, Twitter.com/SWAC Talk 76, Instagram.com/SWAC Talk, and SWAC Talk 76@gmail.com is the email address. Like those, follow those. Continue to check me out, man. Anchor.fm. Tell somebody. Man, let's grow this thing. I enjoy doing this for y'all. I appreciate all the love that I get from everybody. Because without y'all, I would not do this. I wouldn't have the motivation to do this. I wouldn't have the energy to do this because, you know, daily life is one thing. And then sitting down and doing a show where you ramble for 50 plus minutes is not always the most exciting thing. So I appreciate you guys being there for me and keeping me going. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll be back on Sunday, hopefully. We'll see you guys later. We're out.